Right now, it's time to Ask the AD. Boise State's athletic director, Kurt Abshi, normally joins us Thursdays at 5, but because of a travel schedule to Las Vegas for the Boise State basketball game, he has granted us this presence today, so we appreciate Kurt coming in studio. Kurt, I know it was a little rough down there at UNLV with the game. They had a chance to win that towards the end. I know that much. But this basketball team finds itself in a situation from where I sit talking to Jerry Palm, these bracketologists, where there's a lot of work to be done to get one of those at-large NCAA bids. Do you keep track of stuff like that? Is there anything you can do to get the committee to recognize Boise State, or are they way past that?
Just make that call. Yeah, that's all you do. Not really. I mean, we keep a close eye on the RPI. You know, a lot of teams that we've played already, win or lose, are doing very well. You know, UNLV, and I keep hearing that we got upset, which, you know, UNLV's beaten Oregon. They've beaten Indiana, I think.
Right.
They're a good basketball team, and like everyone in our conference, you got to show up every night. You know, we had 18 turnovers.
Right.
I think we averaged a little under 11 a season or a game. And they had a couple runs that we couldn't stop. Those guys are very, very athletic. And, you know, we probably should have made a few more free throws and made a few more stops. But, I mean, it was a 10-point game, but I think it was closer than that. We couldn't pull the trigger when we needed to, but it doesn't stop. You got to put that thing behind you, because we got a very, very tough task tomorrow against New Mexico, and I know our guys are going to be ready for it, and hopefully that place gets packed again and rocking, and we get her done.
Yeah, it's a 3 o'clock game at Taco Bell Arena, so a little different schedule for some, so take note of that. And since you were in Las Vegas, and it is big news today that the folks there at UNLV are excited because the guy that owns the Sands, who also owns the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also owns the Venetian, the Convention Center, and casinos really all over the world, is the 18th wealthiest man in the world. And he is talking about building a stadium on the 40-some-odd acres UNLV owns, right off the strip there. And I don't know how close you know Tina there, the athletic director, or their desires to get a stadium done, but the president said, if we can get a public-private partnership where we're not putting out a lot of money and just giving them land, we're all in, you know, and I read that and went, dude, are you in, what world are you in? Because you've got to jump all in. But was there any discussion of this process or project when you were around there?
Between her and I?
Yeah, just when you were down there.
I spent some time with her. We did not talk about that. We were talking hoops mostly.
And,
you know, her challenge is obviously with the coaching change and all that kind of stuff. And so but you know, right now, ever since they made that change, they're playing very well, and I would assume they're going to be there in the end, and hopefully we are too. But you know, the stadium thing down there is just—I mean, what an unbelievable opportunity for UNLV and that city. And you know, as we were talking earlier, the Raiders in Las Vegas—that just seems to fit. So, hey, good for them. They're going to benefit from that plan if it does go through all the way, and I'm sure that Tina and UNLV and that staff will take advantage of it as much as they can.
Yeah. All right. I want to go back to some issues that we've had come up here. Zach Hill, the new co-offensive coordinator of Boise State, gets hired. And we see that, okay, he's changing his Twitter handle. It's kind of everywhere. But there are things called compliance. There are background checks to be done. And so we wondered, how does that work when a guy goes to work for the state of Idaho, Boise State University? What kind of background checks, or what's he face or she face when they do this?
Well, we certainly go through the hiring process. Football's a little bit different because of the timing on it. You know, we have a coach leave, say, in December or January. Well, as you guys know, January and February, it's kind of closing time on recruiting, so it's a huge time of the year for us. And so trying to make that replacement of that coaching position, not only quickly, but, you know, having some quality behind it, which I think they've done. We do kind of get behind the eight ball a little bit. And unfortunately for us nowadays with social media, nothing's a secret. So someone's going to leak it out regardless of who it is. Our problem is that we just can't publicly announce that until a background check is done. And so it's pretty simple at our part. The coach gives us the information that he needs to give. That work goes to our HR department. Boise State works with a background check consulting company, and then they go out and make sure that all the background checks are done. When we get that back, then is when we can officially announce a coach. And so, you know, that can take 2 or 3 days. That can take 8 or 9 days. Some have taken 2 weeks because sometimes you get a coach that maybe has been at a bunch of different places in different states. And so you got to do a background check on a lot of those places that he's been. So it really just depends on who the individual is. So that timing of that is unfortunate for us because we would love to offer the guy the job and, you know, 20 minutes later announce that he's the new guy and this is what's going on and this is when he starts. And it just, in our system, it takes some time. And then once they are hired and that goes all through and they're on campus, right when they get there, you know, they meet with HR, they do all the paperwork there, then they sit down with our compliance office. And if they haven't taken the test within a year prior to that at a Division I institution, then we offer them the test at Boise State. But a lot of times we're usually hiring someone that's already been at a school, at a Division I school somewhere else. And if they took that test within that year, then they're good to go.
Wow. What's a go, no-go situation for like a coach? Is there like a statute of limitations? Is this just a Bobby Knight hit somebody with a chair? We can't have him here at Boise State. Yeah. What's the kind of process like on that?
You know, we really haven't run across that very often. I think our coaches and our staff as well. I mean, it's not just coaches that we have to go through that background check with. So we do our homework, obviously. And, you know, we'll flat out ask the potential employee, you know, is there anything we need to be ready for? Is there something that's going to come across on that background check that we just need to be prepared for? And we've had that situation before and we evaluate it and make sure that we're comfortable with that. And then we go through the process. But, you know, it's more of a legal thing. Obviously, you can't work at Boise State if you've got a felony on your record. And there's just some things in there that, you know, as you guys probably know, there are some instances where red flags really raised and it's just not someone we want to take a chance on. And so far we've been pretty lucky. So
Kurt Afshe is joining us. Ask the AD. You can hashtag it on your Twitter account, Ask the AD, or get us off a text to 424-9300. This is old business. This is, I don't think it predates you, Kurt, but it's old business. I remember when George O'Leary was the head football coach at Notre Dame for maybe 2 days and Resume Gate was born and he had lied, really, about where he'd gotten his degree or graduate degree or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And I remember it sent a firestorm through intercollegiate athletics where all of a sudden everybody was, I don't know what you guys were doing, and I don't know what position you're in at that time, mm-hmm. but I remember there were some staffers at Boise State where everybody's resume all of a sudden got looked at, and they wanted to know, I guess, did you really go to school there? Did you really get that degree? And did that really happen? Where Boise State lost some people or were asked or repositioned or reclassified. Hell, right. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is going back some time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you there during
this? Yeah.
That
I
thought was a big deal for intercollegiate athletics.
It was. It changed our world a little bit at Boise State. Well, not a little bit, a lot. The other thing that we have to do is verify degree because if you're a professional staff person at Boise State in the athletic department, you've got to have an undergraduate degree. So we also verify that. And there's two ways to really do it. There's an actual listserv that we can go through that is basically all the schools in the country that are accredited. And you can go to that and get the information on that degree. And for some reason, if that degree can't be verified through that, then we'll actually pick up the phone and call the school and get proof of it before we make the hire.
Yeah. And when I'm recalling, this happened, did it not, in the athletic department where it wasn't just coaches who all of a sudden, Gene at the time, it was anybody in the athletic department, and there were a few guys that I don't recall what the exact circumstances were, but they were unfortunate because they'd been there for a while.
Yeah, we had to go through the verification process with everybody in those positions that required that and found a few holes, unfortunately.
And that's part of that background check situation where you guys...
Not necessarily. The background check is more for... you know, things outside of academics. So it's not, you don't go to the same people. It's a part of the overall review of the applicant, but the background check and the verification of degree are really two completely different things. But you got to check them both and make sure that, you know, obviously you feel good about both those. And for the most part, at least since you talked about the past, whenever that was, 10, 12 years ago.
At least.
It really hasn't happened much here at Boise State, at least since I've been here.
All right, something else that's new. We were looking at all the activities for the National Letter of Intent Day. Everything from press opportunities, media opportunities, beginning at 6 a.m. Wednesday, when faxes are coming off the machine. Coaches will be available. They'll be able to talk to them. Bob Beeler from KTAK will be down there at 7 a.m. with the morning grind, interviewing coaches, talking about these recruits. Boise State's going to produce their own one-hour online show about the National Letter of Intente. We are hearing James Webb III ask fans to go to the game. He's involved in marketing. I know marketing's changed so much, something you've spent a lot of time on. Where are we headed with all this in terms of schools taking back their shows, their marketing, and how they do everything? I know you have Learfield and Bronco Sports Properties. Do you see this continuing?
I do. I think it comes down to resources. I mean, you know, we've got our coaches' shows for football and basketball during football and basketball seasons, obviously. We've got our weekly TV shows with Coach Harsin during the season. You know, they do the radio shows, obviously. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do promotionally might just be as simple as a 30-second cut where, you know, Beeler might voice it over. I mean, Jeff, you've done that for us a few times in the past. I like the idea of getting the student athletes involved in promoting the game. I just think that gets to our fans, and you know, you got our players out there going, "Hey, we need you." And
right.
So we've kind of tried to go down that road a little bit more. If you go to our website, we've got a lot more video on our student athletes talking about how important their scholarship is to them and what it means to them and what kind of opportunity they got. So I think schools, if they have the resources to do it, they'll do as much as they can inside, because you can control the entire format. You can control pretty much what's said. I mean, unless you get into an environment like this where, you know, people are calling in and sometimes you can get a little blindsided or surprised, which is fine. That's the nature of talk radio. And so I think as much as we can control it, we would love to do that. We don't have an in-house studio or somewhere where we can cut TV commercials, but if we could ever get to that point, you know, we could do that. But we've got a great partner in Channel 7 that works, you know, a lot with us. We work with DTX, you know, a lot of that stuff that they do with all the video stuff. We've got a lot of video guys on our staff right now that play a huge role in all of our hype stuff and our replays and all that kind of stuff. So I think we'll continue to take on as much as we can, but it really comes down to, you know, what resources do you have to control most or all of it? And, you know, right now at Boise State, we're not at that point.
So I mentioned also that the Major League Baseball players are going to go back to the collective bargaining agreement table. And one of the things they're asking for, and college probably has some experience with this, is not as much media access. In baseball, there's 162 games plus whatever else, spring and if they have playoffs. So and the media, the baseball writers primarily, are before and after the game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even after BP, before the game, and then right after the game, and sometimes in the manager's office and all this other stuff, and they're starting to push back. We've seen the development of Derek Jeter's website. I think we've all noticed in college football, increasingly coaches limiting access, focusing on what they need to do, and this is nothing about Brian Harsin, because I think it's rampant in a lot of places. But are we getting to the point where those opportunities are going to get fewer and fewer, too, where schools are saying, we'll put out our own message, you know?
Yeah.
We don't need, like, this isn't 1945.
Right.
Where we need a newspaper to tell everybody what happened in the baseball game between New York and Pittsburgh because you couldn't be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's changed. So I don't know if there's any discussions like that.
Right.
The NCAA level or how you guys look at it.
Well, you know, a lot of times it comes down to the coach and what that preference is in terms of, number one, will they even allow the media to talk to players? We've certainly had that in the past at Boise State,
right,
where, you know, you're not going to talk to a freshman quarterback, or you're not going to talk to a young running back that's here. You just maybe don't think that guy's ready, or whatever that may be. So access to the players is certainly controlled by the head coach. And, you know, Darren, when you were there, I know that Hawk and Pete did the same thing. And
yeah.
So, in fact, Pete actually had the rule where they couldn't tweet during the season. You know, he did that for a couple seasons.
Right.
And so that part depends on the coach. In terms of access to the coach himself, I think it depends on the time of year. I think it's obviously the responsibility of the coach to address the media after a game, which Brian does. Sometimes that might take longer than usual, but whether he's in the locker room with the guys, I think it depends on, you know, whether you got a tough loss. It's always hard to come out and talk to the media. I do see it lessening across the board. I wouldn't say I'm in favor of it, and I think you just have to have this good balance. I believe in trying to keep the media close, you know,
mm-hmm.
but maybe in terms of a football coach or a basketball coach, maybe just wanting that separation and making sure that there's some information that, you know, they just might want to keep in-house and they don't want out there. I can certainly see that maybe decreasing a little bit because of those reasons as well.
So college, from a professional athlete's perspective, I think you guys were looking at it like, why am I cutting this guy in? I can tweet this out and leverage it myself. And schools may follow with the same thoughts. Pro teams may follow with the same way. Isn't that how a player looks at it?
Yeah, I think you get in a situation where you're afraid of what the angle they're going to have, because every reporter comes in there with a story that they believe that they have building, or they've got a certain angle, and players want to control their own story. I think the problem, and Kurt will have to let me know, is you need the media at a certain point, but we're getting to the point now where we have so much social media, so much access, that they can control their own storyline. I mean, he wants to get in the point where colleges can almost phase guys like you and me out and know they can't hire us because of our backgrounds anyways. So
not true, man. I'm approved.
Oh, okay. So, but if we can kind of control the story, we can put it in a direction we want. And I think that, and Kurt will have to let me know, but he has to walk a fine line now where coaches want to control the story, players want to control the story, but he needs us for a little bit longer.
It depends what sport we're talking to, right?
Yeah.
Greg Patton.
Yeah.
I had Greg Patton as a talk show co-host for a while. You know, he'll talk all the time. But I just see that day coming where it's like, we'll do one or two general press conferences, but we're done.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I really do think it depends on the coach. Even at our place, Brian has his way of doing things. Leon.
He did too.
Leon has his way of doing things. Leon's probably a little more open to that. And I think there's just some things that, we don't necessarily need everybody to know about. I mean, it's just, I think back to the hire just with Zach. You know, before we could even announce it, the media in general already had what they thought was going to be the story. And so they might call and ask the question, which we can't answer for obvious reasons. Well, they don't say, hey, let's just wait till next Tuesday. I mean,
right. They
go with it. And nowadays, like I said earlier, social media just does not allow for any secrets. And maybe secret's not the right word. Maybe it's just information that we're not either comfortable putting out or we're not allowed
not
to because it's just not time to do that. And I would just say this going forward, at least from my perspective as the position that I have at Boise State, you'll hear a lot of things, you'll see a lot of things, you'll read a lot of things, but until we make it official, it's not official. And if we don't make it official, there's probably a reason why we don't do that. And I think most people can read through that, but, people believe what they read and
right.
they believe what they hear. And you talked about, controlling the media, or, Darren just mentioned players and coaches want to determine the storyline. Well, you can talk to someone in the media for 5 minutes and say 700 words and they're going to print 4. So you got to be really careful about what you're saying. You got to be prepared when you go up there. And, think about an 18-year-old kid who's really never been interviewed by the media. They come to play football at Boise State and you got all these people calling you wanting to know everything about you, and you have absolutely zero experience. I mean, I am no expert in the interview process, but I have learned over the years to, listen a little bit better to the question. And there's just some skills, I think, that come along with that young kids just, they're not prepared to do. And I think that makes coaches nervous.